This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action, and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
So after over 40 years of being in business, primarily the real estate business and the self-storage business, I've learned a few things about being in business that I want to share with you. So as I hover around this 500 episode mark, I realize I'm getting kind of philosophical, and this will be the last one. But we might want to call this series What I've Learned About Wealth, Business, and Life. And I want to share with you five things I've learned about being in business that I had no idea about when I first went into business in the early 80s. These episodes also coincide with the release of a new book I've written called The Creative Method of Wealth Generation. And some of what's going to be in this episode is directly from that book. But when I first went into business in the early 80s, I didn't have any business training, and I had to learn this stuff primarily on my own. Yes, I read material, but I didn't take business classes in college. And I had no intention of being an entrepreneur when I went away to college to study. With the circumstances in the early 80s, interest rates at 17%, there weren't a lot of job openings, and I ended up going into business May 1, 1985. So one of the early things I began to learn and piece together, which was a huge surprise to me, was that my economic value in the marketplace, or your economic value in the marketplace, is a function of the problems you can solve for people and who you're solving them for. Let me explain. Let me read directly from chapter 13 of the book, The Creative Method of Wealth Generation. A person's economic value in the marketplace today is determined by one thing: the value of the problems they can solve for other people. Now, this may sound a bit bold, but look around. I think you'll see it's true. All people are equal in worth and dignity as human beings, but in the marketplace, value is measured differently. It's not about intrinsic net worth. It's about what the market will pay for the problems you can solve and who you're solving them for. Take, for example, the fast food worker and a hedge fund manager. Both serve society. Both are needed, but the marketplace rewards them very differently. The restaurant worker solves the problem of providing inexpensive food to hungry people. It does not require advanced skill, but it's valuable and necessary work. However, the marketplace does not place a very high economic value on their contribution and the problem they solve. A hedge fund manager may have income of millions of dollars per year plus a percentage of ownership in the fund they manage, which could also be worth millions or even billions. They're solving a problem for high net worth individuals called how to get a higher returns than the market. The market's usually defined today as the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is the performance of the 30 largest publicly traded companies in the S&P 500, which is an index of the largest 500 publicly traded companies in the U.S. The marketplace today places a much higher economic value on solving the high net worth individual's return on capital problem than on solving the problem of providing fast, inexpensive hamburgers. You may or may not agree with this reality, but opinion doesn't change how the marketplace works. So what's the point? The amount of money you can earn is a function of the problems you can solve. You can create vast wealth by solving the right problem for the right people. So as I've learned in life and business, the quality of our life or the quality of our business is often a function of the questions you ask yourself. One of the questions I always ask when I'm contemplating a new company or even a new product within an existing company is, what's the problem I'm really solving? And who am I solving it for? So, for example, with our new self-storage construction company, over the years, lenders are requiring more and more for small investors, business owners, to use licensed general contractors if you're borrowing construction money for a construction project. So as this began to occur more and more banks were doing this, as a small investor, we were getting bids from normal self-storage construction contractors in the $90 to $130 a square foot range. For most of the deals, at least as a small investor, we were looking at, and I noticed that other small investors had the same problem, those kind of construction numbers make a project today where you can't do it, especially with higher interest rates. So our construction company was created to solve that problem for smaller investors, to be able to bring in expansions and new development and conversions less than the majority of self-storage general contractors out there. That's the problem we're solving. And that's who we're solving it for. So if you ask yourself that question as you're contemplating a business or a new product within a business, and you don't have a solid answer, don't do it. Or if the cost of solving the problem is more than the people that you're solving it for can pay, don't do it. It took me a long time to figure this out, but life in my business world got a lot easier once I learned it. The second thing, big lesson I learned, and fortunately I learned this early, was to do more than you're paid for. I learned that early in my business career when I read Think and Grow Rich. Let me share with you a couple of paragraphs out of the new book from chapter 12. We operate from a mindset of mutual benefits. To receive our good, we must help others receive theirs. People using the creative method of wealth generation are adding to, increasing, and expanding the flow of life. This does not mean we overpay for products and services. It does not mean we don't negotiate. However, we provide more than we are paid for. We will cover this in greater detail in a later chapter, but it's critical you begin to embody this now. Both Napoleon Hill and Wallace Wattles talk about this concept. Hill states in Think and Grow Rich, "The man who does more than he's paid for will soon be paid for more than he does." Wallace Wattles says it this way in The Science of Getting Rich: "Give every man more in use value than you take from him in cash value, then you're adding to the flow of life by every business transaction." I learned this concept in the early 1980s, and it has influenced and been a value I've tried to operate with from the very beginning. For those of you that have worked with me one-on-one, or for those of you that have worked with me in a group setting, I hope that's been your experience of me. It has served me well. Do I leave money on the table? Probably there's instances where I do, but the benefits I've received over my career of having this be a guiding principle and a value I work through have more than compensated for any meager amount of money I may have left on the table at any given time. I'm so grateful I read Think and Grow Rich early in my career and have spent a most of my life trying, working on embodying a lot of those concepts into my life. Another interesting thing I've learned that I had no idea about when I first got going in business was that systems beat talent. At first, every business, new business, that an entrepreneur creates, even our storage businesses, depend and require and exist on the owner's efforts. But eventually, if the owner stays in the system, growth stops, or at least it's hampered severely. I learned this the hard way as I was attempting to scale up a storage business. As we started growing, we focused on hiring great people, great managers. However, that can even be a problem. You know, great managers take ownership of their facilities and what they're doing. And what we noticed is they each began to run them a little bit differently. We encourage creative thinking, we encourage taking ownership, but each facility was being run a little bit differently. As we would take a manager out of one facility and maybe put them in another to cover for somebody, we noticed things weren't running that smoothly. When a person left, there were some real issues we had to solve. Finally, as owners, we had just had enough. I saw that systems and structures and organized ways of doing things were critical to growth. If I was going to own a storage company, we had to have structures and systems in place that were not dependent on the talents of the employees that we hired. And we could plug and play and move people around, and they knew what to do and what to expect. Think about McDonald's. Kids who can't even make their beds up are running multi-million dollar franchises. Why? Because there's systems and structures in place. You don't even have to know how to read or to speak English to work in a McDonald's. There's pictures of what to do. We began to create systems and structures started with our operations. If somebody did something more than once, like open the door, turn on the computer, open the facility in the operating system, close of anything that was done more than once, it was documented how to do it, and we ultimately ended up creating systems and structures for our operations, our marketing, our customer service, in our financial reporting to our partners and investors. But remember, the self-storage business, as well as almost any other industry, is evolving very fast today. These systems and structures, these documents, need to be living, breathing things that can move and expand and can change quickly as industries change and evolve. Think about marketing. Think about AI and marketing, for example. What in the storage business, what we do today is totally different than what we did 6 months ago, a year ago, 3 years ago. Totally different. I realize that systems need to be in place. It adds value to the business, and it allows for growth. And it allows for people who work for us and customers who experience us to know what to expect. I never realized how critical systems were until I was up to my tail in alligators as we tried to grow our storage business. The next big lesson I learned is around financial reporting. Cash flow solves most of your problems. Or you could say, you can spend cash and not profits. So what do I mean by that? Now again, most people may know this. You know, my business partner in my real estate business got a business degree and she knew this. But I would look at profit and loss statements and wonder, where the hell did all the profits go? What was showing up on P&Ls, or at least our P&Ls, and then I realized as I was doing due diligence and looking at P&Ls of facilities, what was showing up as profit on the P&L wasn't showing up as that in my checking account necessarily. And I realized, I finally learned, there's a difference between profits and cash. And you can't spend profits. You can only spend cash. See, most financial reporting is organized around accounting. And accountants and CPAs organize financial reporting to file taxes. What we owe in taxes is based on profit. I can only spend cash. I can't spend profit. I can spend cash. So I realized there was a report missing for me, a cash flow statement. You don't usually see that in financial reporting. Now, yes, you can be trained how to look at a balance sheet and a P&L, piece the two together, see how much is unrealized gains, but I was interested in one thing. How much cash do I have to pay my bills? Now, I was showing profit, but I didn't have cash to pay the bills necessarily. I realized I had to learn how to read financial statements if I'm going to be a business owner. So I dug in and learned how to read financial reports. And I learned how to generate reports in QuickBooks and other systems that give me the information that I really need. And what began to happen was, all of a sudden, dials and levers started showing up that I could twist and pull and turn to adjust my business based on what I was reading in those financial reports. Now, again, most people may know this as they get in business. I had to learn it, and I had to learn it pretty quick. This is something every business owner should spend some time learning about, in my humble opinion. How to read financial reports and really begin to see what's going on. And the last thing that's a big lesson I learned is the right partners can accelerate success. If you remember last week's episode when I talked about things I've learned about creating wealth, wealth is brought to us by other people. In my humble opinion, relationships are everything. Relationships are more important than capital, especially when it comes to partners. Great partners can accelerate your growth, help you personally and professionally, and extend your body of knowledge, expand your world, your business capabilities by having the right partners. The days of a solopreneur, if they ever really existed, I think are over today. Now, your partners may be vendors, they may be actual business partners, and they can be employees too. I consider employees partners in our business. They're stakeholders. But teams are what has a business grow. And how fast you can grow, how effective you can grow, how you can grow with integrity and power, in my opinion, are a function of your teams, a function of your partners in your business. The older I get, the more picky I am about who I'll partner with. I spend way more time now thinking about that than I did earlier in my career. And it's not that I don't make mistakes now sometimes. I do. But I recognize them early and I correct them earlier. As we move on from this 500 episode mark, I hope these past few episodes may have helped in some way. The goal of these episodes is for me to learn out loud. I would love to hear your thinking on anything we've talked about in the past few episodes, but I would love to get your take and what you've learned about creating wealth, growing a business, and some of the mistakes that you've made in your career. So thank you very much. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. And I look forward to being with you next week.